are joined by Max Boutin and Brian Gleeny from the module Texturology at Materia, the public lab of Hexagram and Electra. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining this interview. I would like to start by asking you a general introduction of maybe who you are, where you come from, and what are you working on while you're here?
Hello. Thank you for inviting Brian on this podcast and to talk about what we do. First, I'm Max Boutin. I'm French and I live in Montreal since 8 years, and I'm doing a PhD in UCAM, in practice and theory and practice of the arts. And I'm here, I've been invited here to work on the same like tracks about my work that I do in an artistic and research way, about how skateboarding can be perceived and can be inspired about in creation, what's the experience of skateboarding can be transposed into art and into research, what the going back and forth between research creation and skateboarding, that was a main point for me. And coming here was a purpose to gather some different people, different artists, researchers, skaters, to think about skateboarding practice as a source of creativity, how we perceive the city, the urban sensorium, the textures of the floor, and how can we transpose that into something else than what I did in my own work. So it's about going further and going somewhere I wouldn't go myself.
Excellent. Thank you very much for this introduction. And could you tell me more about who is joining you in your table?
Of course. First, there is next to me Brian Gleeny. Brian Gleeny is a philosopher. He's a multitasking person. I would say first, he's a thinker. He's a skateboarder. He's a graffiti artist. He's a father. He's quite a multitasking guy.
I'd say so. I would add he's also a audiovisual documentary maker, archivist. Right now.
Yeah. I'm filming for anybody out there who knows skateboarding. I have a HVX. You know, this is like a real deal here. None of this digital, just analog tapes.
Because there's a big tradition in skateboarding videos, and he is still pursuing the recording on mini DVs or DVs cassette.
Exactly. Yeah. Which of course gets transposed onto digital, and then presented digitally. Oh, I see you're laughing at me.
I am appreciating.
But as a philosopher, there's something unique about reality. Like the real, not the binary, you know. I think the binary is this semacula that doesn't really exist, but we can manipulate it as we wish. Well, I'm hearing a great sound now.
Yeah.
I hope the audience out there can pick this up. You want to introduce our characters who are making this sound?
Yeah. Just we cannot see it in the podcast, but just be behind us, there is a Alexis Lacroix, who is a professional skateboarder based in Montreal, who is quite famous around. And he's a real creative skateboarder. He has his unique trick where he can monoski stuff. He can bomb hill, do basically going down a hill very fast, but he can do it in a special trick. But it's not the point. Everything he does in skateboarding is he has a creative approach. That's what I like. And plus, he's a musician. So I wanted to invite him because he has a great potential as a skateboarder, but he has also a musician ear that I wanted to have with us, to think with us. because what we are trying to do here is about the sound of skateboarding and the sonic possibilities that it has and what it can do and how we can compose on that and if we can do a live stuff. But to continue presenting the other members, there is also Marc-André Cossette, who is known to be a member of REC, a pluridisciplinary artist doing sound, working with music, with working with AI, is like a tech freak as well. He's a virtuose visual programmer that are rarely known people like him. So, and he's a friend as well, so it's so cool to work with friends. Then we have Mathieu Deblois, who is with a student at UCAC at the NAD. We met together because he's a skateboarder and a member of Hexagram. So I thought it was a good idea to invite him, especially because he's doing 3D scans of your brand's environment with skateboarders inside. So I thought that was going to be great with us. Then his friend Philippe Rax, who is in Concordia, is a student as well, and is a sound designer, I would say, doing he's an acoustician and doing immersive installation. He can do like stuff with different kinds of speakers and immersive tracks on that. I've seen him work with Mathieu with some kind of crazy stuff, so it was a good idea to invite them here. And we have Marie-Ève Morissette, who is a researcher and a student in NAD, UCAC as well. And we met around my installation and her installation at Hexagram, where she uses as well a tactile transductor to transpose the vibration into sounds in a haptic perspective. So it made sense that we had to work together on that approach. And so that's why she's with us. And she as well can work a lot with touch designer and the rest of the team, but not Brian and me and Alexi. We leave that to them. And finally, we have Louis-Philippe Rondeau, who is Le Patenteux, an artist, a pluridisciplinary artist, I would say too, and teacher at NAD, who would turn like reality into a slit scan, and he has a very cool potential, and he's not a skater, and when I talked to him first about skateboarding, he knows a bit because he has a friend who knows a lot and he taught him some stuff, and that makes conversation quite interesting with him because he has crazy ideas that we can used to go like beyond what we thought at first. So this is our group.
Well, another thing that I was interested about from what I have read of your project was the fact that as there are many different talents working together in your module, there's also a lot of different aspects that are explored together in the research that you guys are making. So on one side, we have the practice of skateboarding from a pure but not simple perspective, which relates mainly to the physical action of doing skateboarding. Then there's a sort of big work of conceptualization of this practice, of this doing of skateboarding, that maybe, from what I have read, you guys conceive skateboarding as a sensory practice, as an instrument as well. Then there's the concept of texturology that we'll like dive into later on, the relationship to the urban space, among other things. And then at the same time, there is a work of media transformation. So how does all of that also become media experimentation in real time? So I would very interesting knowing a little bit more about your approach this research creation from this book.
I think we started working back in spring, thinking of ideas about how do we conceptualize what we're doing. And one idea that we came up with as a kind of metaphor or analogy is a record needle, is like the skateboard. And notice how the record needle, it finds a groove in the record, and the record moves, and music is played, right? And so I think the skateboard, as it moves through the city, in many ways is producing a sound. And to, of course, the public, it's a bad sound, you know. Yeah. But to the skateboarder, it is incredibly pleasing. And in addition, it needs translation. So I think what our project largely is doing is trying to translate what that sound is to the general public, to make it something that they can conceive as something like, oh yes, that is in fact pleasurable, or I can see how someone would find that pleasurable. But there's another dimension to it. I work in animal sensory perception, and animals have different senses than us. And we call it an umwelt. And an umwelt is just the way that, like, a bat's senses are organized such that they conceive the world in a certain way. And maybe in another sense, we're picking up on what a skateboarder's umwelt is as it moves through the urban environment. And it's really, you know, it's really unique as a species in the urban environment. There's no other species that moves in the way that the skateboarder does, produces the sounds that the skateboarder does, you know, or interacts with the city in the way that the skateboarder does. And so interpreting that or translating that into the public language is a way of understanding what the species is and how to, in some sense, give it a better ecological system. Not that it just survives in the city, but thrives. And I think this is where our work is beginning, you know.
And if I could go further about what you just said, is specifically like the skateboarder is also like reading all the rhythms that's surrounding him. So in order to be performing his skills in the streets, he has to be simultaneously focusing on every tiny details that's around him. So every rhythms, like the footpath, the people walking by, the dog coming straight away with him, the bus that is going to cross the street at the same time you want to do your trick. It's like, further than the diamond that produces sounds and kind of the speaker image, he's also like a rhythm, and a rhythm within the rhythm of the city, because it has his own rhythms, and it's like a counter rhythm, because he's counting the rhythms in order to perform. And that's what we'll try to do here. It's about taking like the perception of the skater, the rhythms and the sonic possibilities that could emanate from the skateboard, and try to compose with it. And I think I could go like this and explaining what we are going to do, but maybe I'll come back on this is some kind of going back and forth in research creation, and especially since I've met Brian, I think we are going to dig deeper into this kind of relation about what sounds is like about skateboarding, how can it be pushed, and how can it be a motor of creation, because skateboarding can be a very unique source of inspiration for art, for visual art, for media art, and for communities. And I think research creation, thinking into the action, could bring all this stuff together. And that's kind of what we are trying to do here.
So what will be your approach to sound and noise? Conceiving, if you want to conceive skateboard as an instrument, or as a way, let's say, to conceive sort of experimental music. I read something about that.
Okay, yeah. First, it's not since a long time that I consider a skateboard an instrument, but it could be an instrument of different thing, but we can compare it to like a music instrument, because it's made of wood. It has a metal. You tune it with a key. and it can sound different, untuned. For example, if your bearings are too oiled, it sounds super flat. If you have like a rubber that is gone, you can hear the friction of the metal and it's untuned and it doesn't turn right or left. And so in this point of view, it could be an instrument and it produces sounds and we perform with it. Furthermore, the action we take on the skateboards, if we take again the example of the analogy of the record player, we are doing sounds. We are like sound machines into the street performing into the groovy like texture, vinyl, urban environment. And every texture, every materials, every agencies of textures produces a unique and a unique sound each time you go onto that, because so many parameters are involved. Like I said, if your bearings are oily, but even if your speed is a bit lower than the time before, if there is some dirt on the floor, these tiny aspects changes the sound of it. And when you're doing lines, you're choosing a spot. Another spot. A spot is a specific place you want to skateboard. Yeah. And these different spots have different consistencies, textures, so different sounds. And skateboarding produces sound. And we want to produce sounds, but it could be perceived as a noise to the public ears, but to us, it's the condition of skateboarding. Mm.
We could even say it's almost I don't want to go mating call, but there's a call. Yeah. If we're just walking down the street and we hear the sound, we look, our excitement is increased. And of course, if you have a skateboard, then you skate to the place where you hear the sound. And the interesting thing about skateboarders is that, we're one, if we're traveling and we hear the skate sound, we go to it, and then we have a place to stay for the night. We have food if needed, no matter where you are in the world. It is a very unique social group that has close ties and significant trustworthiness. I don't know why that is. It's another piece of the discussion. But you can see then why the sound is so inviting to us. It means our friend, right? Our friend. We hear our friend there. Does that make sense? I mean, is that?
Of course.
I think if you're a skater, you're nodding your head right now. But if you're not a skater, you're like, this is like a cult. Yeah,
it's weird.
Very weird.
Well, I'm not a skater, and I'm thinking, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Okay. You're like, maybe I should skate.
Maybe I should start skating.
Sure.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Bring him some board.
Just bring back the collaboration with Alexis Lacroix, who's a professional skater and also a musician. So how are you collaborating with him from this perspective in like today?
There are a few points. First, because there is a performative approach, and I'm not as great as him in skateboards. Like, I cannot compare actually with him. Or compete. Seriously, it's like two different worlds. Seriously. And so if we want to try stuff, he can do it like this. And he knows what to do, and he understands a lot because he's a musician and because he's a skateboarder. So he understands our language. He understands what we are trying to transpose, and he knows the rules of the music. So he knows somewhere we are heading. And he knows how to compose. So it's a very precious thing to have here. And also, he's a nice guy.
Important detail.
Yeah.
Of course.
We have to work together, so we have to talk and be chill with it.
Of course. Let me take you back to what you said about textures right before.
Sure.
So can you explain the concept of texturology? Because also, if I understand correctly, something you have developed on a PhD thesis.
Yeah. So the concept is quite simple, actually. It sounds a bit like it is, but for me, it's a concept. You take the you break the word, and etymologically, textura is like the weaving, the texture, the textile. So it's something that it's weaved together. So we can compare the urban space as something weaved. So I would say the weaving of the urban space. So the weaving of the concrete, the pavement, the materials that compose the floor, sorry. And logi, from loggia, this is the study of it, of something. So this is the study of the weaving of the materiality of the city, in my point of view. And I wanted to rely on this term, because once Elie Düring, which is a French critic, art critic, said about Raphael Zarka's work that the skater has developed a molecular perception of the city. He's referring to textology when he says that. And when I read that first, I was like, yeah, I truly see what it means, because I'm a skater at first, and I could picture myself on my board at this time. Like, a spot can have this unique particularity of sounding, especially in one way. And when I wrote this concept at first, I thought of one spot in Nice where I learned to skate, and that was like kind of vibrating in my head, like. And this molecular perception, I felt it, and I said to myself, "Yeah, I have to push this." And then I discovered a bit further, after doing my first experimentations about embedding a camera in a skateboard, so we can go on that later, that Dubuffet, Jean Dubuffet, had this period in his life between 1955 to 59, something like that. Sorry if it's not that correct. And it's called the texturology period, where he tried to transpose the texture of the ground he's passing by, but in a, as a painter. So he tried to invent techniques that reproduces exactly the floors, the grounds, the soils. And when I see that as texturology, and I see what I think about what the texturology is to me, that makes sense. And it's like two different approaches in two different times with different tools. So I think that builds the concept at the end. And so it as well is the title of my research, the title of my art practice right now, the project Texturology, because it's about texture and the experience of the skateboarding transposed into art and research.
But I mean, people like skaters like me, we don't think that way. I mean, it's like, I still don't understand the concept fully. I recognize the ground has different textures, that skateboarders interact with these textures. We stay away from textures that are just too coarse sometimes, and too fine. They're too slippery. They don't feel right. But I just don't understand.
You're still not convinced. But because it's not just about only skateboarding. It's about my artistic approach as well. I see the potential of this texture and what it can give into an art installation, like a media arts installation.
The tough thing, I mean, and I'm glad that you're pushing this with art, because honestly, I don't understand it. I see your project, I see your art, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that there's something there. That's picking out something I know, and it's making it fresh to me, but I still don't know what it is. Do you understand?
Maybe that's the maybe that's the point of the art.
Well, yeah, I think that's
still,
also
still get the mystery.
All right.
No. It's
but I'm as a philosopher, I need the clarity. I want the distinctiveness. I need an analytic explanation. Do you hear that sound?
Yeah, that's the sound of skateboarding mystery.
That's like you responding to me by talking. Oh, yeah. But I appreciate that description. I've heard it before. That was a very clear articulation of what your project is, and so I'm not. I'm just saying once again, it's my mind does not get it, but when I see it in your art, I know there's something real that you're presenting. So anyway. Please, take over.
Yeah, but this is also one of the main reasons why we do research creation.
Yeah,
I think
we try to do stuff that we try to understand, but sometimes it goes beyond understanding, and it's just about what the research can lead you to, and see the potential and push this. Maybe doesn't have the answer, but the process is still here, and that makes sense in all different ways.
And in some way also it will push you to find a new kind of knowledge that it might just have other ways to reach you.
Is this what you mean by research creation? We've had that phrase a couple times. I don't know what it means.
Ha.
Ha.
Well.
Do tell us.
There's a quick version of explaining, thanks to Jean Dubois, I guess. There is research... research in art, which will be if we can cut this if it's not right, okay.
Yes.
Research. It's not live, so yeah.
Not an easy thing. It's really not an easy thing to explain.
No, there's research creation is it's about going forth and back from when you create and when you theorize. Sometimes you start with the. Basically, normally you start with a theory question, and you go into your studios or whatever you do in art and act your question or interrogate within your artistic approach, then going back to theory and, you know, go back. It's like when a painter is painting like a mural or something else, like a painting, you're in the wall, but you have to take a few step backs to see what you're doing. I think research creation is about that as well. It's not only the painting. It's about taking the step back and choosing your tools to work with.
No, I like the metaphor of the painter. The downside, the thing that's you want to do a mic drop now. And I'm just here to kind of insert to interrogate that a little bit, because the painter knows what they're painting. I don't know what the hell we're doing. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I know there's something that you've achieved in that installation. I know that we're pushing that in a certain direction with these amazingly talented artist researchers, but we don't know the image that we're painting. And so I just don't think that metaphor, I think that metaphor is going to fall apart pretty quickly here in your attempt to explain research creation. So now my term for the mic drop.
Because it's also a very French concept. I don't know, it's a concept that I have mostly spoke about in French. If you translate it to English, for me, it's an easier way to understand it quickly. If you think about research in the arts, research for the arts, or research through the arts, and then you can combine this approach. You don't have to do just one modality. You can just like do all three of them, two of them, one of them. Yeah.
I like that. It's very pluralistic in its methodology, you know.
Mm.
But in so being pluralistic, then you're like, well, I actually don't know what the methodology is anymore, right? So anyway, just to pick on our easy use of this term, it's still unsettling to me.
Okay, what we can say
but
right
can
now? No, it's a good point. But I see why he's asking that, because it's for our module where we are heading. We have an idea about where we're going. we know what we want, but we don't know how we will do it. We know now what we are doing, but it's been quite kind of a mystery because we have different technical approach that we have to work all together, but it was a bit like fractioned, and sometimes it was maybe hard to be a whole. Maybe the thing that you're being a group, it could be hard to work like all together at the same time. But no.
I mean I've been trying to document our progress regress.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, everyone has such a good attitude because it's expected that there'll be some lack of clarity and you know, mush. And we've pushed through it. We've got a nice clean line that we're engaged in. We should move on. I've picked on the research creation concept enough. But it, again, I just don't see a clear methodology as opposed to like with philosophy. We have formal argumentation. You follow those rules. Boom. You know, you get progress. And here it still seems unclear to me.
Yeah, I understand. And I would say that if the research creation is about like going back and forth, here it's like a 2.5 day of research creation. It's super short format. What we do is like in 4 years or more. So yeah, it could fail sometime. I don't know. It could work, it could not work, but I know that at the end something will work, and we'll work about what we're doing with sounds and like performing outside if we can. But
yeah, I'm actually, can you explain it more in more precision what we're doing?
Of course.
I love that. What?
Okay, the idea was to use everyone's potential to work with. So as we are interested about how skateboarding sounds and what we can do as a creative perspective, what we want to do is try to work with the texture, the rhythms of the grounds, the gritting sound of the rolling wheels on the floor, and try to compose something with a skateboarder in action. And so there is two ways of working with all of our stuff, is that we want to produce something pictorial, something that moves, maybe like going further of you know, the skate cam that I use in my practice. Mm-hmm. So it's a video camera into the skateboard that can focus on the floor that going like through. We want to do something else, and what they did is like using their skills about what they do in their own practices and try to transpose it in the skateboard and this approach about performing with a skateboarder in action. And in sound, it's like trying to compose as there is musician as well as like the artist are musician and the skater is a musician too. It's try to take these ears and try to work with the skateboarding sounds and do composition in live with loops and live recording live recording. I mean live recording because we'll try to capture the sound as the skateboard is going around.
What can you tell us today, knowing that that might change, of what are you guys going to show in the restitution tomorrow?
If it might change?
Knowing that it might change from today to tomorrow afternoon?
If it changes, is that if the change would be that we failed about doing something live, so we try to do something not live and show like what we did compose afterward this day.
But it is kind of genius. I mean, we did the sound trap. We trapped these tricks. They all have different sounds. Our genius musicians have rounded out the sounds,
yeah,
so to speak, and turned them to something that might be appreciated by a non-skateboarder. In addition, through video, they've taken a skateboard and made it like a needle. And it's as if the city is the record and it, the city is moving underneath a static skateboard.
Yeah.
So it's really pushing that record metaphor. And at the same time, the sound being emanated from the skateboard is actually musical. So it's really pushing that record player, the record idea. And so we are really a speaker for this record player, as it were, of the skateboard. I think it will be a success. The main thing, though, is it will be performed live by Alexei.
Yeah.
And that's where things can go amazingly wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's what we'll see tomorrow.
And we actually, if it goes wrong, it's almost going right. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
We don't know.
I don't think it can possibly go wrong.
Well, no.
But I mean, it, you know, when the skateboarder falls, it's sometimes even better. Right, because you're like, oh, that looks like it really hurts.
Yeah, but that will be part of it.
Yeah,
this actually brings me to my last question. What is the role of the spectator, according to you, your different approaches, to actually being in a position of contemplating physical risk? Because skateboarding is also potentially risky. Physical risk activities in a sort of exhibition context.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a couple years with a National Institutes of Health grant trying to understand why skateboarders don't wear helmets or any protective gear whatsoever.
I don't know, go ahead.
And it turns out skateboarders want risk. They need risk for their own mental health. It pushes their limits, as it were, and turns them wild. You know, the safety gear domesticates you, right? It's too safe. And we want to be wild in our exercise, so to speak. And so the more we fall, the more it means we're pushing the limits of what's possible with a skateboard. And so falling a lot is actually something that's seen as a virtue. And how hard of a fall you can take is, of course, another virtuous aspect of a skateboarder. And I think, again, if Alexei falls during his presentation, the general public will be a little concerned, or every skater will be like, ooh, that's good. That's very nice. There was even when a skateboarder gets angry, they break their own board. And this could be, I don't want to steal the show here. But it could be the apex, the apogee.
It could be a focus point.
Oh, boom. Gosh. Oh, you're a dad. That's right. I guess you can say that.
Well, thank you very much for this interview. Thank you for spending this time with us.
I just want to say one more thing afterwards. Sorry. No. It's what we want to do with the general public here. In my personal work or here as well, is that we want to make people see the skateboarding not just a noisy stuff outside in the streets. It could be a real potential for creativity, to be seen as a community that could go and could do stuff really interesting. And maybe if it could help change the mind of the general public at the end, it's a win-win.
Very good, very nice way
Thanks
to end
sure.
it. Thank
for
you.
Sure. Thank you very much for spending this time with me, and wishing you the best of luck for tomorrow.
We need it.